We are rolling on The Mandalorian. Happy Thanksgiving week to everybody out there. Hopefully you have got a short week at work. We did this for chapters 1 and 2 last week. People loved it, so we had to do the same for chapter 3. Go back and check those out if you haven't already. But before we get into The Mandalorian, I want to spend a little bit of time just talking about Disney Plus, because it's been out for a week or two now. We've had the time to pretty much sit with it, see what it's like, see what's on the channel, see what we want on the channel, and we've got a question where we'll answer some questions throughout the show. Thick Moranis wrote in and said, "What is the thing you've seen on Disney Plus so far that's given you the most nostalgia?" And I felt like that was a fun starting point for the podcast. So, Clem, I don't know if you have an answer. I do have an answer, so I could start off while you think. It was Monsters Incorporated for me. Me and Trent have been watching a ton of animated movies recently. Monsters Inc. was one of them. And it was one of those movies that I loved as a kid, hadn't seen in maybe like 10 years, probably more than 10 years. And I just said, man, this would be fun to put on. I remember really loving this. Once I did, all the memories flooded back. It was definitely Monsters Inc. for me. Do you have something that has given you like a ton of nostalgia on Disney Plus?
God damn it, Robbie. You know how old I feel right now? Like Monsters, Inc. Monsters, Inc. is an early Pixar movie, but that's like a late in life. Like Monsters, Inc. feels like it was like, you know, like one of the newer movies in my life. It still feels like it's this day. And the fact you're like, man, I remember, you know, like I was drinking my bottle.
Literally. No, literally. Yes.
Oh, God damn it. And to be fair, like I don't really have a lot of moments where you make me feel old. And partially is because you're like so goddamn you're basically older than me in maturity wise. But that one hurt. My answer is pretty easy. It's the goddamn X-Men animated series, in particular the X-Men animated song, which is one of my favorite things on the planet. I saw the other day you had a poll: what do I watch first, Spider-Man or X-Men, the animated series? Yep. And I had like 7 different drafts of the tweet that I was going to send to you. And basically it was all just saying how great the song is, let alone the show, which is, I'll tell you, Robbie, that show was my favorite show of all time at a part of my life for like 3 years. And then it was when I was young. And then I just like, it just stopped airing. And I didn't understand at that point that like shows got canceled or, you know, just, and it just disappeared. And I was like, what happened to the X-Men show? Like Saturday mornings just were not the same anymore. So just seeing that, that on the list. Just I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it right now. It
yeah, when I tweeted out that poll you're talking about, like it was overwhelmingly X-Men. Everyone was saying X-Men, 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 and I figured that would probably be the case because you hear about the X-Men cartoon and people nostalgically talking about it more than you do the Spider-Man cartoon. But I started it. I watched a few episodes, and it's my nephew's like favorite cartoon. He loves the X-Men, specifically the cartoon because he's only 5. The movies are a little bit graphic for him and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I watched that and I was like, okay, I could tell why Luke likes this so much. I could tell why everybody likes this so much. I watched, I want to say the first 4, 5, 6 episodes. It's become like if I'm throwing something on right before bed, it's perfect viewing for that because it'll hit little notes here and there where I'm like, oh shit, that's like a pull from the comics. They're like doing a legit comic book storyline here. And everyone says that they did the Dark Phoenix storyline the best out of everyone. So I'm excited to get to that point in the cartoon. The Monsters, Inc. thing, I will say, everybody knows that this is a very green-friendly podcast. I've been eating edibles recently as opposed to smoking because it's gotten cold. I've got the bad circulation. It's just an easier process. Clem, when you eat edibles and you watch Disney Pixar movies, it's like the galaxy brain viewing version of these movies. I'm telling you, when like Randall is looking for Boo and, you know, the water noose is looking for Boo, and there will be those moments where, like, somebody drops something and it makes a noise and everyone looks over. I was, like, holding my breath during those moments. I was like, oh, they're going to find her. They're going to find her. I had beads of sweat dripping from my face. I was like that Jordan Peele gif of just, like, yes. Constant sweat. It was one of the most intense movie-watching experiences of my entire life. And that just carried on over to, like, we watched Monsters University the next day, which we had never seen before. Great prequel. Really fun. We watched, like, The Lion King. I was singing along to the songs. Disney Plus, so far, I think a rousing success. The only two things, I've got 2 complaints about it. They don't have a start from beginning button, which is horrible. Every time, because I've watched The Mandalorian, obviously, all these episodes a bunch of times, and I watched them with Trent, and every time I go to start one with him, I gotta like press play, tell him to look away from the screen, scroll back to the beginning, and then press play. They need a start from beginning, and they need a continue watching tab. Because both for the X-Men and for The Simpsons, which I've started from the beginning for the first time, and I've seen Simpsons seasons like 4 through 11. I've just never seen the early ones. So going back to those, they don't have a button where I could just press like, oh yeah, I'm on episode 4 or whatever and press play. If they add those two, I mean, there's pretty much nothing stopping it.
First of all, I just want to say, this isn't even hyperbole. I cannot tell you how much I love hearing, like, when you say we, and it's just you and Trent, who are two of my favorite people. It's so goddamn cute. It's cool.
That is what this apartment does. We just put on animated movies. We have fun.
That's my kind of house. And speaking of cute, I have to say, we had this conversation last week. Baby Yoda, Groot. I think Boo is in the running for cutest character in the history of any.
You're right.
My heart just melts when I think of her. She might be cuter than Baby Yoda.
She really is, and my sister's having a baby, and I texted her right away, and I was like, man, this would be an awesome Halloween costume if you put your baby in the Baby Boo disguise, the monster disguise. I mean, that would be adorable. I was thinking, though, I don't think they would be able to make Monsters, Inc. today.
Is it problematic? How is it? Were they get canceled?
No, I just think at this point, too many homes have home security. They have Simply Safe already. For these monsters to be breaking in, I know they've got the door system. It's a bit of a portal. But I mean, it's just, I don't think it would work today. And speaking of home security, speaking of the holidays, in some states, the week after Christmas brings the heaviest caseload for the police. Break-ins spike every single year during the holidays because families are traveling and burglars know that people have expensive gifts lying around. Obviously, I'll probably have some expensive Rise of Skywalker gifts lying around as well, I hope. If I'm good, if Santa's good to me this year. What's crazy is that only 1 in 5 homes have home security, so maybe that is a good sign for Monsters, Inc. If only 1 in 5 homes, maybe you could reboot this thing. Probably because most companies don't really make it easy. Other systems can be difficult to use. They've got the long-term contracts. They're full of hidden fees, the astronomical monthly fees. That's the worst. Simply Safe is my choice for home security, though. It's comprehensive, personal home security at a fair price. And right now is the best time of the year to get a Simply Safe security system. For the holidays, you can get a huge discount on your security system and add a free security camera. That's my favorite thing about this, Clem. With the cameras, I always think back to that scene in The Equalizer where Robert McCall like rigs his entire apartment full of those night vision cameras and waits for the people to break in so he could watch them. That's what I want to do with this, but I don't really want to be involved in that whole Equalizer business. The Simply Safe protects every room, door, and window with 24/7 personal monitoring, and if there is a break-in, Simply Safe can give real-time video confirmation so the police respond up to 3.5 times faster. With Simply Safe, there's no contract, hidden fees, or fine print, and the prices are always fair and honest, starting at just $15 a month. Go to simplysafe.com/mom now to take advantage of Simply Safe's amazing holiday savings and get a free HD security camera. This offer is for a limited time only, and it's ending soon, so hurry. That's simplysafe.com/mom to save big and get a free security camera. simplysafe.com/mom.
No, so we've said that I think Simply Safe is Mandalorian proof and now monster proof. So they're doing pretty good. Those are big shoes to fill. Very big shoes. Speaking of which, I actually threw the idea around that Sienna was going to be Boo for Halloween one year, and I would be Sully. Because, like, again, when you're a big guy,
that would
be
perfect.
A big guy costume.
Yes.
That nails. But then the wife didn't want to be, like, the snake hair girl or be Mike. AJ would be the perfect Mike Wazowski. So we're going to circle back to this maybe next or another thing. All right. My thing for Disney Plus. Love it. The Simpsons, if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't watched – you know, seasons 1 and 2 are a little rough around the edges, but they're still hilarious. But you definitely can tell where they jump off. I think season 3 is where it really starts taking off. That just like having that in an app that I actually use and having every episode ever, not just like random seasons like you'll get on FX and then it's anything after like season 12, which I think is trash, which is just so sad. It's save the phrase for me. If you live long, either you die. You become the hero.
you either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Yes, that is what the Simpsons are in real life because, like, they stayed around so long. All the shows that we love that got canceled too early, probably like the X-Men, which was, like, the greatest cartoon ever in my opinion. It, like, if it stayed around as long as the Simpsons did, it would inevitably suck. This is my one thing on Disney Plus I want. It's a very weird feature, but I think it would be hilarious because there's so much shit. A random button, and you get a random anything.
Wow.
So you get, like
– I've wanted that on Netflix for shows like The Office or Friends or, you know, the shows that you would catch on TV on a random Sunday night, say at 11 p.m. Like, I would love to hit a random button, especially even if you could – yes, for anything, like you're saying, but if you could just make it X-Men random.
Yep.
That would be awesome.
I'm down for that 100%. So either it could be like any movie or episode of TV in the world, or you go into that TV show and go, all right, random X-Men. Random
totally.
X-Men.
Just make it one of the buttons on the controller like it is for Madden when you're, like, selecting random teams in the beginning. It's like press X for random. Make it that on Disney+. So let's get into The Mandalorian, Chapter 3. I think this show just keeps fucking getting better and better and better. It's really crazy. If you're interested in, like, day of 30-minute video reviews. I've been doing these with the Lights, Camera, Barstool boys, Ken Jack and Jeff Lowe. We've been doing them for The Mandalorian and for Watchmen, if you're watching that as well. So check those out on their YouTube/BarstoolSports.com itself. Clem, what did you think of Chapter 3 of The Mandalorian? We'll do the same thing we did last week, without spoilers for the first.
I think it was legit. I think it was good. At this point, it's like it's like a sports. I always do my sports analogies, but it's like every week.
No, people love them.
Yeah, I just want to see growth every week. It's like my boy Daniel Jones. I just want to see growth every week. I'm not looking for every episode to be a 10 out of 10. I just want to see it. We're not going in directions, and without any spoilers, very happy. Thumbs up, all around.
I think a big thing for this episode that is giving a lot of nerds reassurance is that it was directed by Deborah Chow, who is also directing the entire Obi-Wan series when we're eventually going to get that. So I think this gave us our first sign, and she was, shout out, the first ever female director of a Star Wars show, which is pretty awesome, pretty big for the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Bryce Dallas Howard also has some stuff on this season as well, so there will be two by the end of the season. But seeing the way she handled this, seeing the way she handled the gritty tone, the Western tone of The Mandalorian, and she gave us some of the coolest Star Wars moments we've seen in a long time. I mean, there's not much we could say without getting into spoilers, so we're just going to get into it. Once again, if you don't want anything spoiled, you can go down to the time in the description. We've got a timestamp in the description, wherever you're listening to this, and skip forward to that. So getting right into it, we open on Baby Yo playing with this little knob on the throttle of the Razor Crest. And it's cute. You could tell the Mandalorian still has a bit of a cold shoulder towards him because he's like, it's not a toy. Put it down. He like grabs him by the shirt, puts him back in the carriage. And he fucking went and turned him in. He collected the bounty. He got it out of that Wilroe Hood ice cream maker. The weird – like that thing is the most – I mean – it would just never work.
It's preposterous. Yeah,
it's a weird exactly. It's a weird bucket that twists. Well, what's the word I'm looking for? It's the most, like, not problematic, but just you can never use it.
But that's like Star Wars universe.
Impractical.
Is so weird,
it's impractical. That's the word I'm looking for. Yes.
The Star Wars universe is so weird where it's gritty, but it's also futuristic. And that fucking device, it's not even a device, a contraption. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it looks like a puzzle box. If Werner Herzog brought it out, and it was just like, really? Couldn't think of a briefcase? Like, you thought of cloning, you thought of getting the smelted Beskar, but you couldn't think of just a briefcase? I don't know, it was weird. That moment, there he collects the Wilroe Hood ice cream maker, and he gives them the baby, Baby Yo, and they bring him into that separate room, and Baby Yo just, like, looks over the carriage because he's scared. That was one of the more heartbreaking moments. I mean, I guess that's what Werner Herzog was talking about last week when he was like, it was heartbreakingly beautiful. Like, that was why it was heartbreakingly beautiful, I think. So he collected the bounty. That sucked. I was pissed at him.
I don't think it sucked. I actually liked that he actually went through it. Like, the show, if it's just him, he grows a conscience instantly. I want this, like, Mandalorians are badass dudes. They've been bounty hunting for years. Obviously, this guy is, like, a bunch of frozen-ass people, a bunch of carbonite motherfuckers in his ship. Like, he's been through the ringer. I like that he at least traded the baby in and before the inevitable, like, you know, conscience eating at him going back at it.
True. I just hate it because, I mean – I'm a hashtag protect Baby Yo guy. Protect Baby Yo at all costs. You put Baby Yo in the hands of the Empire, you don't know what's going to happen to him. And that was the thing they noted. Like, he says to Werner Herzog, he's like, what are you doing with the baby? And he's like, nope, no questions asked. I guess once you collect your bounty, once you collect your commission, that was the first indication that he was very, like, he was kind of skeptical about giving this baby up. Especially it is the thing where, he's 50, but he's a fucking baby. So he goes, he gets some new armor. I thought this was really cool the way they did it. Like, the way that he's almost upgrading, like it's a video game, his armor. We started, it was gritty, it was brown, it was tan, it had dents in it. Now, it's shiny, it reminded me of, like, speaking of Favreau, Iron Man, where I was like, oh shit, he's upgrading his armor, and they're going to sell 1,000 action figures of Chapters 1 and 2 Mando, and then Chapter 3 Mando, and then when he eventually gets this fucking jetpack, there's going to be jetpack Mando, and they're going to keep going with that. But I thought it was cool he gets the full silver set, the Beskar armor. Another thing, they might have done that so when they debut the Mandalorian, people aren't like, oh, what, he's like a Captain Phasma Boba Fett? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There were, when I rewatched it, I was like, ooh, he kind of has like a Phasma vibe about him now. And I was like, I wonder if that's why they didn't start off with him, Chrome.
Phasma. I'm very triggered.
I know you're triggered at the Phasma reference, but me and Jeff D. Lowe were talking about Boba Fett the other day. And it is crazy to me that Boba Fett has like drastically, drastically less screen time, drastically less dialogue, drastically less everything than Phasma. And people still hate Phasma and they love Boba. It's an interesting like back and forth.
No. But the thing is that I'm 100%. I've heard you guys say, and I heard Jeff's take on it about how Boba Fett is basically like a cool toy. He had a cool name, and he's like basically a putz that like dies because you know.
Phasma is. Phasma is the you know sequel trilogy Boba Fett, if you will.
But however, Boba Fett went and tracked down the Millennium Falcon. He outwitted Han Solo. Like Boba Fett, Empire Boba Fett is legit. It's Return of the Jedi Boba Fett that like really just shits all over his name. But Empire Boba Fett is the real deal. He's the first dude with fat carbonite. He has the sweet ship. However, Return of the Jedi Boba Fett. And again, the cool ass name. I just love saying Boba Fett so much.
I know.
Phasma. I don't understand what Phasma does in that movie. She just completely bumble fucks herself nonstop. Anyway, I'm sorry.
No. We're getting all sides here. We're getting all sides. It can't just be, you know, a blind loving of all the Last Jedi on this podcast. We got to have both sides. Yeah. We see another flashback as his new armor is being created of the Purge of Mandalore, which we've heard a lot about in Star Wars canon and whatnot. We haven't seen a lot of, and we see like B2 battle droids fucking shit up. And someone commented this in the Star Wars subreddit. 2019 CGI has made those motherfuckers look menacing. Like, they look way scarier than they ever did in the prequels in this. They had, like, you know, it was a smoky environment. It was the gritty sequel trilogy or original trilogy environment. And it also gives us the character backstory of why he doesn't like droids. Why in the first episode he's like, no droids, I want a human pilot and all that. Why in A New Hope there's a prejudice against droids and they don't want to serve them at the bar because they just carried out a fucking genocide. So I thought this was one of the cooler character building moments of the show so far. And it also provided us with a tease of something to come because I don't know if you caught the same thing I did, but when the battle droid starts to like really fire up to shoot what looks like the Mandalorian, they cut away. And it looks like there's no way the kid Mandalorian could have got out of that situation unless someone saved him. So I'm interested to see if we learn more about that. Is it his clan of Mandalorians? Did they save him? Is he a foundling like Yoda is? I think he might be.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, I wonder, because if whoever saved him, if that kind of weighs on his head with Baby Yo. Because
that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I feel like, let's be honest, Mandalorians have probably been turning over kids to get bounties for a very long time. You know what I mean? Even ones just as cute as Baby Yo, as hard it is to imagine. So maybe that is the reason that he like kept asking, what are you going to do with him? And he was really looking out for him. I also love just how like they're referencing the Empire and how the Mandalorians hate the Empire. Cause it's like,
yes,
you know, there's obviously Mandalorians aren't the good guys in a lot of people's views, but fucking the Empire is the worst of the worst. And just seeing the different shades of darkness, of gray, of whatever you want to call it. I kind of dug that.
I dug that too. And the way they got it, he got into the fight with that heavy infantry, Mandalorian who was voiced by Jon Favreau, actually. The way that guy was like, bro, you're sitting at tables with the Empire. They stole this Beskar from us, and now you're working for them to get it back. Like, it betrays everything we stand for. I really thought that was, like, a cool – that adds layers onto the show, where instantly that one comment is now like, okay, we understand there's a long-standing history between the Empire and Mandalore. I don't know if you caught this as well. Jeff D. Lowe was talking to me about it, and the more he talked about it, the more I was like, holy shit, you might be onto something. Everybody on Mandalore looked like they were wearing these red robes in that Purge of Mandalore, even the kid and all that. There was a reference to Life Day in Chapter 1 of The Mandalorian. Now, on Life Day, everybody wears these red robes. Jeff D. Lowe was like, is there any chance that because the last episode of The Mandalorian debuts on Disney Plus like 2 or 3 days after Christmas, and Jon Favreau has been saying that he wants to make a Star Wars holiday special follow-up forever, that the finale is somehow going to tie into Life Day, and we're going to learn that the Purge happened on Life Day, or something like this, something like that. I don't know. I think it's a hysterical thought, And when he initially brought up, I was like, Jeff, I promise you, it wasn't fucking Life Day robes, you silly motherfucker. The more he says it, the more I'm like, that might happen. And I'll tell you what, if I am getting myself a Life Day robe, I want it from Tommy John. The revolutionary underwear, loungewear, and clothing brand that guarantees a perfect fit. And they're getting extra ballsy this holiday season. This holiday season that involves Christmas, Hanukkah, Thanksgiving even, Kwanzaa, Life Day as well. This holiday season with an unbelievable offer exclusively for my listeners. Right now, you can shop Tommy John's biggest sale of the year and get 25% off site-wide. Clem, you talked about Tommy John last week. I talked about Tommy John. They got the horizontal fly, opens up and down. Never seen anything like it before. And if you've had FOMO for Tommy John from listening to us talk about it, now is your chance to try or gift the most comfortable underwear and loungewear on the planet. Tommy John wants everyone to experience the amazing fit and feel of their products, like breathable, wedgie-proof underwear and ridiculously soft loungewear, like those Life Day robes that are guaranteed to fit perfectly. And ladies, if there's any ladies listening out there, now is your chance to kiss visible panty lines goodbye, or even upgrade to the most comfortable bra on the planet. And guys, you have to experience this horizontal quick draw fly that's putting an end to fly fishing for good. This is what Clem's talking about. It's like the Mandalorian. When he sees those stormtroopers, whapa, shoots them right away. You could whip out that cock right away. Plus, you'll never get a wedgie. Guaranteed. If the first pair isn't the best pair you've ever worn, you're getting your money back as well. So give the gift of comfort this holiday season with limited edition gifts like loungewear and underwear from Tommy John. Plus, save 25% off site-wide when you go to TommyJohn.com and use code Robbie. That is R-O-B-B-I-E at TommyJohn.com.
Tommy John, if you're listening, Mr. John, you can use this. You can use this as a tagline. You know, Tommy John horizontal fly has a quicker draw with your cock than the Mandalorian. That one's on the house.
Oh, Tommy. Totally. That's on the house. You could have that. That's for you. So the Mandalorian gets back on his ship, the Razor Crest. He looks at that throttle without the little ball that Baby Yoda was playing with, and he has a moment where he's like, fuck it, I'm going back. And he starts shutting everything down. I watch it with the closed captionings on every week. It just helps me, you know, remember character names, alien names, stuff like that.
We don't close caption shame on this.
All right, good.
I'm also old. That's why I need to do it. But you're a youngin'. You do it as well. It adds a lot to it. It really does add a lot.
It totally does.
It helps. It helps
yes.
a lot.
So it actually said, like, Mandalorian powers down his ship, and I was so fired up. I'm like, go back, protect Baby Yo, get that baby, our sweet boy. So he goes back to that, like, compound that the Empire was operating out of. He sees the carriage in the dumpster, which is like, oh my god, what are they doing with our boy? He does the thing that I talked about in Chapter 1, where the little Jabba eye droid, I was like, if that were real life, drunk people would definitely just destroy that thing at all times. He destroyed it, and I was waiting for the stormtroopers to come out and be like, oh, it was probably just a drunk buffoon, but they didn't.
I love that thing.
And this episode kind of, like, flips on its head, and we get, like, a fucking, basically, like, John Wick-esque episode for the rest of the Mandalorian.
That was in my notes right here. I say when everyone gets, like, the text message and all this shit lights up red, it's like the John Wick 2 when everyone has the thing, the bounties on them, and they're all going after him. I'm like, oh shit, Mando, it's John Mando.
The way they were shooting it, where he was kind of like walking down that alleyway and they were showing, like, more and more bounty hunters coming out of the shadows, putting their guns up. And he had that meeting. I should mention, he had a meeting with Greef Karga, who is Carl Weathers' character before this, where he shows off the new armor and all that. Carl Weathers is also like, man, you've been stressed for a while. I should take you to some Twi'lek healing baths, which I think is probably a Star Wars strip club. Is that what he's talking about?
I think we're talking rub and tugs, some Nuru massages, if you've ever gone down that road of Pornhub before. Like, it's some sex. It's Carl Weathers we're talking about here, Robert. It's
so
sex.
He says that, and then he also says, like, when Mandalorian's like, no, just give me, you know, whatever the newest bounty is. And he gives him the bounty pucks, and he says, like, at least get some spices for the way back. And at that point, I'm like, all right, now he's talking Star Wars drugs. We're talking he's like, why don't you go to a strip club and get yourself some pot because you seem a little antsy recently. Anyway, he goes to this compound. We see for the first time ever stormtroopers with flashlights on their guns, which looked awesome in the dark. It looked, I don't know, I guess more John Wick-y like we were talking about. And he
Baba
has these
Yaga. Imagine if they just started yelling Baba Yaga. Mando.
And they had, like, a cool shootout sequence. He goes, he gets Baby Yo. The doctor, with the sunglasses was in the room operating on him, and they had that big ball droid that was about to inject Baby Yoda with something, or at least pull something. I think they were talking about you have to get it all out of him. They were saying get it all out of him and then kill him, which, geez, talk about PTSD. That has to mean midichlorians, right? They're trying to get midichlorians out of Baby Yoda because he's force sensitive. I don't really know. He uses what was called the whistling birds. He got whistling birds put into his armor. And it was a callback to episode one, I think, where the stormtroopers all point his guns at him in that room. And he says, 4-on-1, I like those odds. So he's there with 4 stormtroopers, and he gets to kill all of them. Then, like you said, the John Wick moment happens. Everyone at this bounty hunter bar gets a pager that, hey, the bounty's now out on the Mandalorian. And then we get, Clem, one of my favorite Star Wars moments, maybe ever. It was one. Wow. It was a moment that I've wanted to see since I was a little kid playing with my action figures. Boba Fett's in a shootout. Oh, look at this. He's being overwhelmed. Who could save him? 100 Boba Fetts all on their jetpacks. This was amazing. The way they built up to it, making you think that we were about to see Baby Yo use the Force again, maybe, where the Mandalorians like kind of make an eye contact with him. Baby Yo opens his eyes. They have that moment. And then we just get everyone from, what did they call it, the cavalry? Or the
cavalry, yeah, with a K, I think, right?
Yes. Or no. We are definitely, they don't call it the cavalry with a K. That is Watchmen. As a reference to the KKK, I don't think the Mandalorians are white supremacists.
I hope not, because this is going to be really awkward if we find out.
But they come in, they save him, they throw him a This Is the Way, which is their equivalent of May the Force Be With You.
And now it's like the new I Have Spoken.
Yes.
Like, we have two great taglines so far, 3 episodes in.
Yes. And it was just so cool to see this. Like, what was your instant reaction when you realized what's happening? Did you think we were getting Baby Yoda using the Force again?
I honestly, how's Mando getting out of this one? It's only been 3 episodes, and I'm like, I don't know how he's, like, we've already dialed it up to, like, dire straits this many times, and I was like, the battle droid ain't coming back, he's cooked, and I had no idea where we were going. I was really hoping we weren't going to have Baby Yo, because I kind of like not having him around this episode. Like, we were so in love with him, he's been the biggest thing on the internet. I kind of wanted to see them go and do their own thing, and it was just awesome just seeing these fucking, like you said, 100 Boba Fetts just coming out of nowhere and lighting motherfuckers up.
Carl Weathers, his, like, Greef Karga's motivation for kind of turning on the Mandalorian is understood if that's his job, where he gives out bounties and he collects bounties and stuff like this. But it did seem like there was a bit of a prior relationship there where we still felt like it was a classic Star Wars betrayal, a classic DJ or Lando, them turning on a dime and being like, oh shit, now you're cornering me. And at the end, he gets to shoot him. I think he knew where he was shooting, because he shot him right in the Beskar, Doc Brown style, where you think he's dead and then all of a sudden he's not. See that Back to the Future reference, by the way?
You can use that.
And he gets to escape. He escapes with Baby Yo. He gives him the throttle knob at the end, and it's a cute moment. Once again, a self-contained story that builds up to something. We're building, still. You know, there's obviously a client. We don't know what he wants with Baby Yo. I think it's probably going to be Gustavo Fring, because we haven't seen him yet, but he's in all the trailers as someone from the Empire. I like that we're still building. I like that every episode's its own story. I like that they're 30 minutes. I know I said last week I wish they were longer. This week made me think, you know what? If it's 30 minutes of A story instead of 30 minutes of A story, 15 minutes of B story, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. I, as someone who, like just putting down my phone, like, I realize I do keep my phone down for almost the entire episode, which is a big thing for me. If you get into that 45, 50 minute range, that's when sooner or later the addiction starts coming back in and you're losing me. But if I see that like the timeline at like 32, 37, I'm pretty much good. And I'm with you. Let's just call him Carl Weathers from now on. Gus Fring, like, just use all their real names. It's going to be so hard to, like, learn all these other names. Star Wars names are so fucking, like, weird to begin
with. They really are.
It did feel like a betrayal, but at the same point, like, he had to do what he had. Like, it's like in John Wick, when John Wick, you know, basically betrays the hotel, and he's like, dude, I gotta do what I gotta do. I have a business to run here. So this is just the John Wick story. They just remade John Wick in Star Wars, which I'm more than fine with.
Honestly, it is. And I tweeted before Chapter 3, I said, John Wick 4, but instead of a dog, this time he has Baby Yo. And I was like, that tweet's going to do numbers. That's going to pop off. What's more universally loved on Twitter than Keanu Reeves and Baby Yo? It didn't pop off. And then this episode happened. Everyone said he was like John Wick. I was like, motherfucker, I was ahead of the curve on this one.
How amazing would it have been if Mando, after like he's like fire, like you said, before he powers down his ship, he like flips on his iPhone and he sees the hashtag Baby Yo. It's like, shit, man, Robbie got me on this one. I gotta go protect Baby Yo.
Yeah. That would be a great edit for some man. I'm gonna get Nick Hamilton on that right away. He's gonna hate me. That would be hysterical. I thought you were gonna say how great would it be if like episode 10 were finally at the end of the season, or I don't know how many episodes, the season finale at least. We're on it. And the Mandalorian gears up to take his helmet off for the first time, and he's fucking John Wick after all.
Marvel was going after Keanu, right?
Everyone's after him for the Eternals. I would imagine, yeah, everyone's probably going after him. I mean, we're welcome to Keanu in Star Wars. Keanu is Darth Raven from Knights of the Old Republic. That would be pretty incredible. Predictions or hopes for future episodes?
You're not going to like this, Bob, but I – okay. So I don't want Baby Yo to turn bad.
Are you about to fucking say less Baby Yo?
No. More Baby Yo.
Okay.
A lot of Baby Yo. Okay.
That was hilarious how you corrected me. No. More Baby Yo.
So the midichlorians, that's basically a curse word. That's like a C word, basically, for Star Wars fans. How about we clone Baby Yo and there's a bad Baby Yo versus a good Baby Yo coming down the road?
Wow. Potentially
then tying into the Rise of Skywalker down the road and all this coming again. That's what I want to see. That's what I'm hoping for. I'm probably dead ass wrong, but that's what I'd like to see.
I'm hoping, one, the tease of the jetpack we got at the end of the episode I loved. And I'm like, yes. I want this motherfucker to have a jetpack. It would just be cooler to watch him jetpacking around and whatnot. Two, I want him to start – you know, they teased the little strength in numbers thing in this episode. We know that his clan of Mandalorians is going to have to relocate. I don't think we're going to see them for a while. I would like to see, starting in Chapter 4, him start building his own crew. Crews are a huge thing in Star Wars. Like Han Solo's crew is a big thing. He already offered a job to Nick Nolte's character, the I Have Spoken guy. He's like, I could use a guy like you on my crew. I want – Nick Nolte's character, Gina Carano, who we haven't even seen yet, Cara Dune, and IG-11 or another droid like him all together in the next episode. I think it would be cool to see him like really talking to a bunch of people. We haven't seen that a lot in the series so far. It's been mostly solitary, just the Mandalorian, just Baby Yo. I want to see more and more of that.
I'm in. I didn't even think about like his own crew, but he's definitely gonna have his own crew. He's like, yo, dude, I got this cute ass. He's like, yo, you guys like see this fucking baby? Yo, he's everywhere right now. He's gonna sell so much shit. He's like, he's part of my crew. He's cute as shit. You can just hang out with him, and he can like save your life. Like that, you're gonna get anyone you want in the crew at that point. So
everyone's after him. So he needs some help. He needs all the help he could get, I would imagine.
Can I just say something too? We had Chekhov's whistling birds, as I like to call it, because they mentioned the whistling birds. We get the whistling birds. They kind of sucked. Like,
what? Unless, they killed four stormtroopers.
Yeah, I could kill four stormtroopers. what makes them so special?
Kenjack actually said this, but I thought the same thing. I thought they were like mini Yondu arrows. They're like little mini whistling arrows. You know what I mean? They kind of are, based on the way they operated and moved and all that. We have some questions, mostly about the Mandalorian, nerdy stuff, so we can get right into them. CP3LO said, what was the doctor trying to get out of Baby Yo? Do you think it was midichlorians? So I did say in this episode, we both said we think it could be midichlorians. It is the thing that makes the most sense. But in episode 8, they kind of go back on the idea of midichlorians. And we know that that is one of the more fresh things in canon, so you would imagine they want to continue to push narratives that they were pushing there. And midichlorians is also, like you said, a curse word. So why would they have to bring that up, or why would they use it? Maybe they're trying to go back on it. Maybe they're trying to change the narrative on midichlorians and be like, no, they ain't so bad. Baby Yo's got them. I don't know. What do you think?
Do not talk, like, on your first – we said how important this series was to get Star Wars back on track for everyone. Digging up the midichlorians, it's like bringing up like the worst fight you've ever had with your wife and just digging, like going into that or something like that. It's like, do not touch midichlorians. They're out there. We don't even want to acknowledge them.
But listen, I have a thought to your point right there. John Feidelberg has said before that a good first date move before you bring a girl out, you say, what do you hate doing? Let's do that, because if I could make that enjoyable, we're going to work out. Maybe John Favreau is doing that with Star Wars fans right now.
Feidelberg is a very wise man. He's had some very great, like, sage-like advice, quotes, whatever you want to call it. And I will give this much. Jon Favreau turned, like, clunky-ass, boring Iron Man into, like, the coolest fucking superhero on the planet. So, I can get down with that. I can get down with that.
And the rumors going forward are that Jon Favreau is going to be heavily, heavily involved in the franchise going forward. It looks like the positive feedback to The Mandalorian was enough for them to go, oh, yeah, this guy knows what he's talking about. Him, Dave Filoni, and I believe someone else that runs Lucasfilm's head of live action will be stepping up in the future. Really good sign for the future of Star Wars. So,
hell yeah.
Ryan Dietrich said, is there anything you would change about The Mandalorian? Last week I would have said longer episodes. This week I'm kind of, like I said earlier, sticking with 30 minutes, sticking with what they're doing now. Here's one thing I will say. We saw his most recent bounty. He got the bounty puck for a Mon Calamari that he said he was the son of a nobleman, and he ran off. And my mind went right away to, oh, maybe Akbar's son? I want less of that. I don't want it to be Akbar's son. I want them to continue making the universe feel as big as they could possibly make it feel. You know, enough of this lineage, enough of this, oh, he must be so-and-so's son, he must be so-and-so's daughter. Save that for the Skywalker saga. I think it works better, actually, in the Skywalker saga, because that is a more contained story. We're more inclined to believe the Force is bringing all these people together. With a story like this, a bounty hunter story, just keep expanding. Keep doing stuff that I would see in the Clone Wars, like all the Mandalorians saving him. That's something I feel like I would see in only a cartoon, stuff that I could only imagine seeing in a cartoon. Keep bringing that stuff to live action. That's what I would say.
No, yeah, I mean, that's – I hate to, like, piggyback on it, but that's exactly my thought. I mean, I said it last episode. We found out it's not Tatooine. We got
a – Oh, yeah, it's not Tatooine. That's a big update to make, yes. A bunch of people tweeted us. I forgot what the actual planet's name is. It doesn't really matter. It fucking looks like Tatooine, but it's not Tatooine.
Yeah, let's just stay away from Tatooine-like planets from now on as well. But, like, even the – I thought it was cool seeing, like, the other people that Mando had locked up in Carbonite. But then I was also like Carbonite wasn't really a I'm sure after Boba locked up Han Solo in Carbonite, they probably used it a lot more where they're like, yo, this is a great thing for bounty hunting. I feel like that was just something they kind of did on the fly in Cloud City. It wasn't like obviously it wasn't the plan. They didn't even know he was going to survive it. So what's his name? Nick Nolte's guy. Like the basically piranha, like the walking piranha he's on.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the special effect dinosaurs they added in the special editions.
Yeah.
So it's like, let's just stay away from that. But at the same point, like I hated the blue guy that we met in the beginning. Like the first bounty.
Horatio Sands.
I did not like Horatio Sands. I did not like that guy. I thought it was kind of like lame, like bad funny. So at the same point, like, there's also aim small, miss small. So I'm kind of like a hypocrite in that. I also love the Jawas. But yeah, like, some stuff, but let's go outside our comfort zone a little here. Like you said, a bounty hunter can go anywhere in the world.
I did like, too, the alien bar, the bounty hunter bar. They had, like, a lot of aliens that we've seen, a lot of aliens that we haven't seen, a lot of species we haven't seen. I don't know if you noticed, there was one of Darth Maul's species, actually, with, like, the horns coming out of his head and shit from Dathomir, which that's a cool thing to see as well. Darth Maul, he didn't have, like, the red and black, because I think in canon, that's, like, tattoos. I think Darth Maul is just red, and all the black is, like, tribal tattoos, basically. But, yeah, keep expanding the universe, keep making it feel big. Harold L. Stokes said, Clem and Robbie talking nerdy makes my heart happy. That makes us happy. Need your thoughts on this. And he sent along a tweet from a guy named Koi Jandrew, which sounds like a fucking Star Wars name. Jesus. He said, give me that inevitable DC Black Label villain one-off film with Lex Luthor. So he's referencing earlier this week there was a report that Todd Phillips was making a sequel to Joker. It was denied by Todd Phillips. It was denied by pretty much everyone after that. Like, I think The Hollywood Reporter came out and said it, and then Deadline, Variety, all of the other big movie media places said, no, that's not true. But there are rumors that maybe DC is going to continue making some of these grounded villain origin stories. That's actually something that Justin Kroll said on the podcast weeks ago, before Joker even came out. He said, let's cast someone who could be lovingly elected president who is actually trying to protect his beloved metropolis. Give me America's sweetheart, long overdue to play a villain. Give me Tom Hanks. It's an interesting thought. It's a really interesting thought. Shout out Tom Hanks, July 9th birthday, same as me. One of my favorite actors of all time.
Who else? Who else is on that birthday?
O.J. Simpson, so we could stop talking about it right there. I recently saw A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood on Friday, right before Rough and Rowdy. Myself, Caleb, Roan, and Frankie saw A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Tom Hanks plays Mr. Rogers. And Clem, I got to tell you, it was one of the more delightful movies I've seen in a very long time. All because of Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks, one of the greatest actors I've ever seen. One of the greatest actors of all time. And he fucking crushes it so much. We were, the four of us, the four babies, we were welling up in the theater. We were choked up. We were looking at each other, seeing if we're crying, seeing if I'm crying. I don't want to see Tom Hanks play a villain. I get that it's, you know, it's the Breaking Bad thing. You could see the dad from Malcolm in the Middle play a character you would never expect him to play. Not with Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks is a good guy. I don't want Tom Hanks to ever turn on me. I don't want him to turn on Metropolis. I'm out on that.
So I saw this tweet come in, and I started reading it, and then I was like, all right. And I didn't realize it kept going because it cut off. And I was like, oh, Lex Luthor. I was like, they got to do that. They got to nail it, though, because I think Lex Luthor is an awesome character that just hasn't been done right because DC hasn't basically done anything right outside of the Batman universe, right? And then I saw the Tom Hanks side of things, and I was in the same boat as you. I was like, don't you do that to my Tommy, my Thomas? It's America's Sweetheart. Back when I was like a goddamn kid, it was Big was the movie that I fell in love with him in, and then Forrest Gump and everything we love about Tom Hanks. Hell, Tom Hanks, like if him and Rita Wilson ever get divorced, like that will. I've never been affected by. I know you cry when celebrities break up.
Oh, don't say I cry when celebrities break up, Clem. It was one time. It was Chris Pratt and Anna Faris. They were my favorite celebrity couple. It was one time.
Bob, have you ever cried for any other celebrity couple? Let's be honest. It's the trust tree. We're in the basement.
Honestly, probably. Yeah. I can't think of it off the top of my head. Probably.
I think the Hankses getting divorced would crush me more than my own parents getting divorced. So I am going to say I am out on Tom Hanks. I cannot handle it. And I blogged about it this week. It turns out him and Mr. Rogers are related. They share the same great-great-great-great-great-grandfather who must have been the greatest person of all time.
The greatest. We were talking about that blog on the way into the theater because we had all read it that day. So we were all like, yo, did you see? I saw it too. Yeah, Clem blogged it. We were like, isn't that one of the craziest things ever? And then we all sat there for a minute and we said, nah, it makes sense. Mr. Rogers, Tom Hanks, I mean, they're cut from the same cloth, obviously.
I got to see that. I'm so looking forward to that movie right now. I've already talked to wifey. We're like, that is our only plans for Thanksgiving is eat turkey at some point on Thursday, watch football, and then see Mr. Rogers that weekend.
It's a really good plan. I would recommend this to anyone listening to this podcast right now. Like the four of us went in, the four of us loved it. All four of us had the same exact thoughts on it afterwards. We got two more questions from Nick Giacobbe, who writes in all the time. Thank you for listening, Nick. He said, with the Rise of Skywalker a month away, when do you think a good time would be to start muting words/hashtags to avoid spoilers? I usually do it before the red carpet. It's interesting. This year, I think this go-around, The Rise of Skywalker is going to premiere in Japan first, about a week before the movie comes out. I would do it before that happens. Look up, find out when the first premiere of the movie is, and then mute pretty much every word you could possibly anticipate someone trying to use to spoil a movie with you. For Game of Thrones, I did dies, died, dead, killed, murdered, stabbed. You know, I literally every verb you could think of and then every character name and all of that kind of stuff. I think I go a bit overboard because obviously with the whole Barstool thing, there will be assholes out here who will try to reach out to me personally and spoil it. I don't know if everyone out there has enemies like that. If you do, try to do it before the first premiere. If not, I would say at least the week of. The week of that Monday, stay off from then. You know, the hype is already built up enough there. He also said, if you and Clem could each pick one Jedi to win a duel for you, who would you choose and why? Assume the duel would be against a Sith Lord, kind of like a trial by combat. So I guess we are Tyrion Lannister in this position. We have a trial by combat against the Sith Lord, and we get to pick any Jedi we want to defend us. Who are you going with?
I'm going with the big bad boy. I'm going Annie. Give me Annie because he'll go. He'll devil. He'll cheat. He'll do whatever it takes.
The smile on your face when you hit the he'll cheat. That was a little worrisome. It makes me think you're going to the dark side.
I'm kind of like I'm like just thinking about like Revenge of the Sith Anakin right now. And I mean that movie was the best of the prequels, which wasn't saying much, but like I want to dig deeper into Anakin. I've said this after I think The Force Awakens come out. We did a podcast with R.A. and Charlie Wisco back in the day. I would love for them to redo the prequels, just act like they never happened and redo them under Disney. And I want to get in on Anakin because I find him fascinating and I want to see him kick some ass.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if that happens, or even if they did like a Disney Plus thing and they were like, we're filling in every single second that happened in the time period of the prequels that you didn't see. And they just pretty much treated it like they showed us only the worst parts of what happened in that time period.
Yes. Or they do like a Marvel what if. What if the prequels didn't suck and they just show like three good movies?
There actually is a series on YouTube. I think it's called What If the Star Wars Prequels Were Good. And I would recommend everyone check him out because it's basically just a guy in front of a green screen. And I think he did like storyboards. And he lays out his idea for the three movies, not straying too far away from the actual storyline they told, but pretty much being like, episode one should have had a main character. Like, episode one does not have a main character. You can't name a main character. If you say it's Anakin, we don't even meet him until 45 minutes into the movie. You see, it's Qui-Gon. It's definitely not Qui-Gon. Is it Obi-Wan? It probably should have been Obi-Wan. It probably should have, you know, focused on him for a while. It would have made his betrayal or his fight with Anakin way more emotional and all that. I think if they did that, it would work. I think if I'm picking my Jedi to fight for me, Anakin was an idea. Obi-Wan is another great idea because, I mean, who beat Anakin? Sorry to bring up old wounds, but I've got the high ground. You know what I mean?
Damn.
I'm going to go with a pick that maybe people wouldn't expect, though. Maybe people would expect this because they're like, you fucking love the sequel trilogy, you nerd. I'm going to go with Rey. Based on the fact that from what we've seen from Rey's force powers, her force powers just rise to meet whoever she's fighting. Now, whoever she's fighting has been only one person. It's Kylo. They have the force link. Maybe whoever she's fighting doesn't have that same force link. But just the way she picked everything up so quickly, I'm sticking with her. I'm sticking with my girl, Rey.
Oh, you just want to smooch, Rey. You just want to smooch
I might want to be the damsel in distress for Daisy Ridley. One more question. This one's from me. It's Thanksgiving week. Thanksgiving's on Thursday. I have a Thanksgiving-related nerd question for you. If you could invite one person from the MCU and one person from the Star Wars universe to your Thanksgiving, who are you taking? Factor in, they got to get along with the fam. They got to bring some food. They got to, you know, they got to bring something good. You got to invite somebody, I think, like my MCU pick. I thought of this beforehand. Happy Hogan. I'm inviting Happy to my Thanksgiving. I'm not inviting Thor, who's just going to get drunk and sit on the couch and watch football and not contribute, probably not bring anything to the party. I'm inviting Happy. I think he probably just turns into Jon Favreau. I think he throws on the chef robe and he's like, let's do it. Maybe he brings along Aunt May. Maybe he brings along Peter Parker. Peter Parker, I would imagine, is amazing with kids. He could keep the children occupied in the backyard while that's all going on. From the Star Wars universe, I was also thinking, what era do I go? Luke, another one. Luke brings what, a fucking jug of blue milk? No way. He's going to bring that big fish he caught in The Last Jedi? No way. I'm inviting the one and only Poe Dameron. I know you don't like Poe Dameron much, but I think Poe Dameron's probably just a fucking good dude, shows up with a 24-pack, sits down on the couch, probably has that perfect level of football knowledge where he knows enough to talk with the guys, but not too much, where it's like, man, this guy watches football all the time. What does he do in his life? You're like, no, he's a cool guy, but he knows about football. I'm inviting Poe Dameron and Happy Hogan. I thought about Lando. Lando probably brings some rich edible arrangement shit. But those are my two.
You can't leave your aunt alone, Lando. Like,
No, that's another thing, yeah. And it's like, is Uncle Lando going to show up with an alien we've never met before, a Twi'lek we've never met before?
Yeah, for sure. My Star Wars one is a slam dunk. It's a no-brainer for me. It's like, just my favorite character is R2-D2.
I knew you were gonna invite R2 to Thanksgiving.
He's just a pisser. I love
you
that
know
guy.
You're getting 3PO too. You know they're not splitting up for Thanksgiving, so you're getting both.
And it's always like, well, we didn't plan to go. It's like, guys, you guys have been Thanksgiving for 30 years in a row. You guys obviously don't want to spend it apart.
Yeah, so they show up. R2 comes through the front door. 3PO comes through the old side door, and they're like, oh, so funny we see each other here. R2 also definitely would put on that tray that the Jawas put on him in A New Hope. Yes. Just be rolling around the party, serving hors d'oeuvres, serving pigs in a blanket, little swish action.
Little swish. My daughter has a R2-D2 towel when she gets out of the shower. So like the top of R2 goes on her head, and then like she wraps herself in the rest of his body. And I put it on myself, and I was going, do, are you all right? And she's like, Dad. She's already getting embarrassed by me, but I would probably do the same thing with the real R2-D2 in person. MCU is tough, so the first thought is obviously my guy here. I bought this online. I've you know, people have like collections where, like, not only just, like, baseball card collections, stamp collections, but, like, they'll have, like, 100 different kinds of the same statue or something. Like, yes. Maybe you collect Buddhas. I'm in a dangerous spot right now, Rob.
Oh, no. Because
I have a Thanos Funko Pop that I love, and now I've bought Thanos Lego. And now I have two Thanos things. I saw this at the Comic-Con. They were selling these things, and I saw it. I was like, I want that so badly. I'm going to end up buying like 100 different Thanos statues.
Yeah, you are. I'm in a weird
place right now. I have a Thanos picture of the glove behind me here. I love the man. Him at Thanksgiving would be a problem, though. One, because he has to, like, kill someone or, you know, snap half of the existence.
He shows up. He's like, there's not enough food.
However, yeah, that's true. Yeah, would be a problem. Can you imagine him, like – yeah, my family has never talked politics at the table. We're just not a big political family. If we had a blowhard who wanted to talk politics, Thanos would speak circles around them. I would love to see Thanos just put, like, he could talk you in and out. Like, he convinced me that, like, genocide of half the universe was, like, the right move. And I still kind of believe it when
you
I
You were,
think
un- until stuff. Friggin' Endgame, you were like, he's got a point. He's got a point.
However, at the end of Endgame, you know what happens, and you know it breaks my heart. So I think I would have it would be a huge downgrade, her coming to our house. But Morgan Stark, I want to buy her cheeseburgers. I want to give her turkey. I want to give her a hug. I want her to play with Sienna and become best friends. I want to become best friends with Pepper Potts.
Oh, that's adorable. That's adorable, Clem. You're inviting a friend over for your daughter.
Yes, exactly. And they can play together, watch AJ, and we can just watch.
Definitely the
that.
Wife gets along with Pepper without a doubt. It's they maybe you keep in touch, and then maybe you're a friggin' member of the Stark family, an honorary member eventually.
They buy me a house and they make me
Yeah, one of those cabins they had in Endgame, that thing was sick.
Yeah, and I never noticed that the Avengers the new headquarters is in, like, the Hudson Valley. Like, it could be not far from my house. So.
Yeah, it's true. It's a car dealership, I think. We should visit that one day and, like, take pictures outside or something. That would be fun.
Would be creepy. I'm sure the card was like, these fucking assholes.
I know. They're like, the fucking nerds. The nerds again. That's about it for this week on My Mama's Basement. Tune in next week. Myself and Jared Carabas will be interviewing one of the biggest From the Top Rope guests yet. And I say that after having just interviewed Rey Mysterio, CM Punk, and Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'm still calling this one of the biggest guests we've ever had, especially in relation to what we used to discuss when that podcast was active.
Shout out that podcast, by the way. I love how the My Mom's Basement has brought back old podcasts in new forms. And you guys are on a heater, man. Stone Cold. You interviewed Stone Cold.
I know. It's crazy. Being on the phone with Stone Cold, you just – nothing will ever prepare you for that moment where someone says, all right, you're on the line with Stone Cold. And he goes, yo. I was just like, I called him Steve. I was like, did I really just call Stone Cold Steve? Like, I don't know what else I would call him in that moment. I wouldn't be like Chris Farley. I'm like, hey, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Remember when you stunnered The Rock? That was awesome. But I was just like, hey, Steve, how's it going? And immediately I was like, hey, Steve, the fuck? I'm talking to Stone Cold. I should show Mr. Austin some respect. But he was cool. KFC tweeted today, too. The way he just refers to conversing as shooting the breeze every time he says it is amazing. He's like, oh yeah, Robbie, it was a pleasure shooting the breeze with you, and he hangs up. I mean, that's what you want. Clem,
he's just the best.
Clem, thank you so much for always doing My Mom's Basement, always at the weirdest hours. I'll text Clem on a Sunday and be like, can you do My Mom's Basement? And I think your official response to me was, is Baby Yoda the cutest motherfucker in the galaxy? I was just like, man, this guy's the best. I hope everyone out there has a fantastic Thanksgiving. Clem, I hope you have a fantastic Thanksgiving, and we will talk to you next week.
Same to you, Robert. Same to everyone else out there. Same to you, Baby Yo, wherever you are.
Absolutely. Same to you, Baby Yo. Same to you. And hopefully, no porgs are getting eaten this Thanksgiving.